This is CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, this is 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dabo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. I'm actually excited. I'm speaking about one of the things that are very problematic in our country and that influence the state of the economy. That is the state, of unemployment and how much that affects the economy. I mean, Stats SA has recently published the findings from the second quarter, being April to June 2015, of Kotwali Employment Statistics Survey. This survey gives an indication of the number of people employed in the formal sector of South Africa. I mean, unemployment is one of the indications of the performance of the economy. So it's not surprising that with an unemployment rate of 25%, it's key issues we need to address. I mean, what is even more alarming is that the unemployment rate amongst the youth is a lot higher. The youth make up 40% of the national 25% of unemployment rate. I mean, even the Deputy President, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, recently said government intends to create 6 million jobs by 2019. I mean, something that he added on what the President, Jacob Zuma, had said initially, which will come from public works program as well as a private sector stepping up to partner with government to unlock employment opportunities. Joining me in this discussion on the very tropical discussions, it's Chris Hart, the Economics and Investment Strategist at Standard Bank Wealth and Investment, Eugenia Kula Amewa. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. How are you, Miss Kula?
I'm fine, thank you.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's Kula Ameyao.
How do you say that?
Ameyao.
Ameyao.
Yes.
Okay, Eugenia Kula Ameyao.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Miss Eugenia Kula Ameyao is the chairperson of Businesswoman of South Africa. And later on the line as well, I'm going to be having Olani Kubeka, who's the CEO and founder of Small Business Development Institute. I mean, they're doing an event this week as well with the Minister of Small Business, trying to encourage the public and private sector to actually come in and do something as far as the unemployment rate is concerned. I mean, this is quite something that is interesting, that really affects us from the country. And obviously we're going to be hearing as well from young people that are being affected by this, to see whether does the country really is affected by unemployment. You're allowed to join in on the discussion. We as well on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is cliffcentral.com. Then we're on WeChat. Our WeChat ID is cliffcentral.com. Our studio line is 0861-555-189. 0861-555-189. So we can touch base and definitely have this heated up discussion. Let me start by greeting my guest right in studio. Then I'm going to be crossing over to Chris, who's going to be joining us. Unfortunately, he couldn't be in studio with us, but he's going to be joining us on the line. As Eugenia, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Tebogo. And how are you?
No, good, thanks.
It's a pleasure to be here.
No, definitely. Do you, Eugenia, do you want to say hi to our listeners and tell them who you are?
Good afternoon to the listeners out there. My name is Eugenia Kula Ameyao. I'm a chairperson of BOSWA, Black Women Organization South Africa. Our vision is to empower, position, and grow small businesses owned by Black women.
Okay.
Thank you.
To empower?
Empower, position, and grow.
Empower, position, and grow. Yeah, no, it's something that I definitely want to make aware and to make noise out of, because it's something that I really want to interrogate, because obviously we know that we've got a problem in our country with the unemployment rate.
Exactly.
So to see how do you help in that state. But I think let's cross over to Chris. Chris, how are you? Chris? Chris, can you hear me? I think we're losing Chris. Maybe let me continue while we're trying to get Chris back on the line with Eugenia. So you see, Eugenia, you spoke of you empowering, positioning women. Is it women only, or what is it?
I'll say majority women.
Majority women.
Yep.
But why are you being sexist?
Not really. Mm?
We've got men that are struggling. We've got men that are trying to get into businesses. And my worry with women empowerment on its own, I encourage that, but that shouldn't be the only focus. At least you must accommodate men as well, eh?
Yes, we do, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the playing field is not level. You should know you are already ahead of us. Yeah. We are trying to catch up with you.
Yeah.
And also women, because if women are not economically active, they become vulnerable.
Okay.
So in most cases, when men decide to change in relationship, they will leave a woman with the children.
Okay.
So there's a saying in Africa that if you educate a woman, you empower the village.
Yeah.
In Boso, I've changed it. I said, if you economically empower women, you've changed the whole nation.
Okay. So then maybe while you speak about changing the nation, I mean, what does Buswa, what is Buswa all about? And how is it involved in stimulating job creation?
We obviously, they are very small businesses. When you say SME, the definition is different. They'll say 100 million or whatever millions is still a small business.
Mm-hmm.
But women, we have sessions, business breakfast or whatever events and empower them. We get people like you to come and give us tips on how to succeed. And we look for opportunities, okay. You know, linkages. We look for opportunities. And also in certain cases, there are certain softer skills that you need to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of empower ourselves behind closed doors. So at least when you come before Teboho, we're looking smarter. Those are little things that we do so to empower ourselves. And also we need to create a balance because most women have added responsibilities. If you are here, you get home, you expect food, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so and there are children to be picked from school.
Mm.
So we create that balance, but in the process we say don't neglect your business.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we do.
Okay.
And also we do the same with professionals. In most cases, especially black people, alongside their jobs, they'll have their spaza shops.
Mm.
So, and most of them transition from jobs, not like where with others, where you get inheritance from your parents. So you had to hustle. So to be alongside their full-time jobs, then they do something, you know, start their businesses. So that's basically what we do. Certain things some might not understand. They say there's an IDP in municipalities.
Okay.
So we get women at least who are competent in certain areas. They'll analyze it and make the opportunities simpler to the women, even in rural areas or in our small towns. Because I come from a very small dorpi, somewhere in the Karoo.
Yeah.
So this is what we do.
Oh, okay. Then from there, I mean, tell me, Sis Eugenia, I mean, entrepreneurship or enterprise development is widely believed to offer long-term solutions to creating off jobs. Is this a real solution given the high rate of which small businesses fail in South Africa? I mean, between 70 to 80%, depending on the source of information.
I'm sure the issue here is the strategy. It would be the root cause. You need to deal with the root cause. Why do businesses fail?
Mm-hmm.
It's lack of support in most cases. And without being hard on us, unfortunately, with the black, it's like, okay, I'm also looking for, you know, we've not been there before. People are not ready to help. If you had to help a young man like you, it takes your time even to mentor.
Yeah.
You know? So you must be there. It's your 30 minutes, an hour. You calculate in terms of money and you're still looking for more business. So there are various root causes that affect businesses,
mm-hmm.
which then certain roles need to come into place. Government needs to play a role.
Mm-hmm.
We need, I would say, entities that work like the CEDAs, you know, and all others. Business, too, big business must support. The enterprise development must be enterprise development.
Mm.
But again, I'll share a bit of experience with all those called enterprise development. Because we also have our own experiences as smaller SMEs.
Okay.
Because they want to tick a box, especially with the new BEE, you get called to come for training for finance. They even didn't check that you've got a finance degree. In most cases, you're looking for an opportunity to supply something.
Mm.
But because of the root cause that, okay, they fail because they are not competent, they don't understand the books. So they call you for the training while you're looking for business. In most cases, they don't do their homework. I was called, okay, you come here, there's a training on finance. I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
Really, I don't think, you know.
No.
So there are the other dynamics that there's no concerted strategy, or I'll say integrated strategy,
mm.
to deal with enterprise development.
Okay.
But more than anything, other things we can talk as we move into the program.
I think I want to come back to that. But before I come back to that, let me try to connect to Chris. Chris, hello. Chris, are you there?
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. And you, Chris?
No, very good.
No, good, thanks. Can you hear me?
I can do so, yes.
Oh, okay. Chris, tell me. By the way, welcome to Cliff Central.
Thank you very much.
No, good, thanks. Chris, maybe before we get to it, did you want to just say hi to our listeners and tell them who you are?
No, I'm, as I said, Chris Hart. I've been a financial market economist at Absa Capital. I'm an investment economist and strategist at Investment Solutions, and I'm now with Standard Bank, Wealth and Investment as a global investment strategist. And the whole issue of job creation, etc., I think is a critical one for South Africa. My sense is it is the national emergency above everything else, because so many of our problems stem from the fact that we have so much joblessness. And I certainly agree with you. The assertion that it's going to be small, medium enterprises that's the job creation engine that we're going to rely on. But I actually think that there's so many things that are stacked against small businesses in South Africa. And my assessment is not the obvious things. In other words, where we need to establish, especially I think in small businesses, I think there's a lot of what I call things that we're not really telling people the truth, in the sense that we're telling people that small businesses need to be given access to capital and given access to markets. And I believe that two fallacies that we are chasing after is that when you have a look at how do small businesses start and succeed, is that firstly, nobody's given access to capital. People actually mortgage their houses, they max their credit cards, all the rest of it to start their businesses. And that one can check with other small businesses that have started. So it's important that South Africa concentrates on building savings and building savings specifically in households. I'll come back to that in a second. The second big thing is that no successful small business is given a market. You have to establish your value proposition and build your market around it, right? And that's how it is. There's plenty of space in this economy for success. But the biggest lack that we've got is, in fact, a low level of savings, because it's the savings that you invest to create the business, and that's where we lack. And we can create institutions to help bridge that gap. But ultimately, when we look at it, the numbers don't back up. We already only investing at a rate of 19% of GDP, and we cannot even sustain that, right, because we're only saving at a rate of 14%, and those savings sit in the big corporates, right, and they're anchored to our economy. Without the big corporates, we wouldn't have the capacity that we do have, the capability that we have. But we need the small, medium enterprises to be creating the jobs that we need, and that's where we are actually lacking. We effectively need to create jobs for something like 10 to 12 million people, which means the small business creation needs to be in the order of 2 to 4 million new small businesses.
Mm-hmm. So now I hear you loud and clear, Chris. Comparing to the 2013 quarterly report, it says there were 4.6 million unemployed people in South Africa, of which 40% of them have been looking for a job for more than 3 years without getting a job. And another thing, looking at another report, it was saying the South African informal economy employs about 20% of the population. That is now the informal sector, which, I mean, it's significantly lower than the sub-Saharan Africa of 72%, Asia 71%, and Latin America of 51%. So, I mean, now what I want for you is if you can please share with our listeners, I mean, what are the consequences of raising unemployment, the rising of unemployment on businesses and the government, I mean, and the economy as a whole?
Well, the high unemployment level gives rise to, there's a number of consequences to that. And sometimes, South Africa, we're dealing with the symptoms of unemployment. So poverty, for instance, is a huge consequence of unemployment. The second, the inequality, a huge consequence of unemployment. We're trying to deal with that, but we're not actually dealing with unemployment as such. But other issues, housing. Unemployed people can't keep a roof over their heads as more as easily as somebody who's employed. All right, people who are employed tend to be healthier than people who are unemployed. So it's not that employed people don't get sick, but it's that health problems are less amongst employed people. All right, education. Employed people keep their kids in school for longer than unemployed. And of course, if you are employed, you don't have as much time to plan your next heist. Crime is less amongst the employed than the unemployed. All right, and so all of these things, if we can resolve unemployment, we actually help diminish a large number of other problems that we face in our economy.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's quite insightful. Crime is definitely something that is affecting, and obviously not leaving behind poverty. So that's why obviously as a country, it's quite important that we contribute in terms of curbing the problem that we're sitting at. I mean, by the side of Kenya, economy is not an island though. I mean, it's affected by global forces such as the failing commodity prices, as we have seen affecting the mine sector.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what we are seeing in our economy, I mean, globally so. So to what degree, I mean, are we feeling the impact of global issues versus local issues, though?
Well, as far as global issues are concerned, of course they have a negative impact on South Africa, but to a large extent, South Africa's internal problems are our bigger problems. All right, in other words, the regulatory tsunami, the resources that are being drained away from growth towards compliance is enormous. Okay, the most recent example is the tourism sector being pushed into recession because of visa regulations. Now, the government's pulled back on as far as that's concerned, but in financial services, you can't grow because resources are being diverted from, you know, investing to grow the businesses to actually comply. There's a whole heap of regulation that's still in the pipeline. It's expensive, and the regulations that we put in place are basically need economies of scale, and that's anti-small business. And we're getting more and more of it rather than less and less. And this is a problem around the world, and it's one of the reasons why the world is facing slower growth. This is internally. If you have a look at things like economic freedom, South Africa is now ranked 96. In 2000, we were 40th. We're plunging down those rankings. We're falling down the rankings in competitiveness. We're falling down the rankings of ease of doing business. We're falling down the rankings of even the corruption and the credit rating. Right, and that is internal, that's self-inflicted problems. In other words, when commodities are down, we get sucked into those problems rather than being able to provide a haven and say, okay, if commodities are down, we've got alternatives. We don't have alternatives. We're actually shutting those alternatives down. And that's what we need to actually fix. And then easy to fix because it's really just politics that is in the way of fixing it.
No. I mean, speaking of politics, maybe let me cross over here to studio, to Eugenia, and I mean, Eugenia, in your opinion, is there enough collaboration between the public and private sectors to stimulate the economy and create more jobs?
Well, I'll say to a certain extent, but really you need to define the parameters. And in most cases, I'll say people will do what suits them,
mm-hmm.
be it business, be it government. And with BEE, there could be compliance issues, but really it's government having capacity to even police that sort of a better way, you know?
Mm.
So really there is, but to a certain extent, I'll say it's yes and a no.
Mm.
Or maybe it's not strategic. You are not having a 20% Pareto principle that will give you 80% result.
Mm-hmm.
When I listen to the budget speech, I get excited. I remember this other time I was flying, I had to sit in the car at the airport. I said, no, let me listen to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I quickly got a boarding pass coming back to listen to the budget speech. I'm saying, wow, there's a lot of money. But then there's something called results measurements. Are we able to measure the results and the impact thereof as government?
Yes.
And more than anything, we could be, it's like saying, oh, you've passed matric. In matric, there's not much you can do. So we should go to where we say at school, government should introduce entrepreneurship training. There's extramural like activities where there could be a competition. You are selling peanuts, you are selling this, you are selling lollies, you know, ice cream. So those kind of competition. So if anything, you pass matric or whatever level, people are doing business. Most of the billionaires we celebrate, the Dangotas, and I know some millionaires in Africa, who started business when they were students.
I started business when I was a student.
You see, you are a living example without going far, you know.
Mm.
So, but we don't have that.
Yeah.
And also some of the parents who have businesses, maybe we pamper our children too.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, when we even push them. Is that so? There are various things. I also want us to tap to learn from Africa. It's always good to give global statistics. The problem with Africa, you can't always have compare apples and apples.
Yeah. I mean,
if there are apples, it's apples red and green or golden.
Yeah. I mean, you saying that, I was reading this other report the other day. It was saying you must not trust South African statistics because they are not accurate except for South Africa. So it means we were the we were the only preferred country that really report what is there compared to other African countries.
I know I'm doing research on something else. I struggle with statistics in Africa.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of Africans who are studying overseas.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, at least I should get a vacuum cleaner and bring them all back home to their various countries. But the good thing to learn, if you have traveled to Africa, I've been to 22 countries in Africa, you see how entrepreneurial young people are.
Yes, no, they are.
And it's because there's no grant.
Yeah.
Whether the grant serves a purpose, we're also not sure. That needs to be interrogated. Or it has conditions. Mm. I know in Canada, when we went for a study tour some years ago, there should be a concerted effort that you're looking for a job to qualify for whatever benefit that is there.
Mm-mm.
Otherwise, you could be sitting and say, it's coming, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the kind of things where we check the impact of whatever program, dynamic as it might be, whether it has impact and also is sustainable. I believe in sustainability.
Yeah.
Or you could do something, and in most cases we do things as government to either win votes. The other person I thought, or stakeholder I wish you had, was be labor.
Mm.
Because the cost of labor in this country is too high.
No, it's true. I mean,
minimum wages. So you're starting your own thing. You ask the young people, then it says minimum wages. You can't afford the minimum wage.
Yeah.
So there should be certain things, you know, a threshold to say, okay, for this, we can forgive you if you're a small business at this level.
Mm.
Those are the other dynamics that we need to look at. And yeah, she said, we're looking for jobs, but I don't know, I also want to push for entrepreneurs. Mm. If they can't get jobs, why can't they be entrepreneurs, create jobs?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, we wanted to get labor in studio, but we couldn't do that.
Okay,
but maybe let me come back to you, Chris. Chris, do you think, is there enough collaboration between the public and private sector to stimulate the economy and creating jobs?
I think ultimately there's an enormous amount of goodwill on both sides and an absolute complete lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not working together. There's, I think, selective working together where the government chooses to engage, you know, on a fairly narrow basis. But to a large extent, the broad basis of business is not being engaged.
Yeah.
And in fact, to a large extent, the regulatory environment is quite hostile. The business sector is treated with suspicion. And the irony is that everybody's wealth in society, there is no other source of wealth creation and wealth generation and income generation other than through business and business activity.
Okay. So,
and basically, we almost are cannibalizing ourselves by saying, oh, no, we've got to actually do it. There's so many examples where the private sector being pushed out of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And the sentiment is saying, you know, the business, you know, jobs have to be created in the private sector, and yet it's becoming more and more difficult to do so.
So then, I mean, would you say we have policies that are strong enough to stimulate growth, given the slowdown in the growth rate of our economy?
No, our policies are actually anti-growth. You can see that from the budgetary process starting there. It's shifting resources to consumption rather than to investment. It also targets things like, you know, just capital formation. You've got the Department of Trade and Industry, which is probably our biggest anti-business department. I liken them to the department that ties your legs together and then offers you a wheelchair as an incentive. You know, in other words, if you don't need to worry about incentives, just untie the legs. When we tax things like capital formation, that is like eating seeds and then wondering why we're not getting harvests. There's various problems that we need to actually fix. And unfortunately, I don't think we've got a very strong knowledge and understanding of economics in the political sphere, and where it is, it's quite, you know, ideologically driven rather than pragmatically driven. And we need to fix that.
Yeah. So then, I mean, before I let you go, I mean, in your view, what role has the labor unrest, increasing wages played in shaping the unemployment figures we are currently seeing?
It's huge. And I don't have a problem with increasing wages if it's connected with productivity, because ultimately people must benefit from an economy. And if you're producing the value, you must be, able to, gain the, see that in your pay packet and that, because that's the way we will improve our affluence. We don't work just to have our time occupied, but nobody in the whole wide world invests in strikes. And in the context of South Africa, we need investors to embrace South Africa's labour, not to try and find ways to avoid it. In other words, to reduce the risks to labour. And that's what we need to, that's one of the big mistakes that we're making. That and regulations are two of the big mistakes that we're making, and the taxes that target capital formation is a third big mistake that we're making in South Africa. So we need to undo this, a lot of regulation. We need to find better ways to resolve our labour disputes and shift the tax base towards the end of the value chain, not the beginning of the value chain.
Yeah. So, okay. No. Thanks a lot, Chris. For your time. It was quite insightful. Maybe before I let you go, because how we actually close off the show, we actually close it off in style, that you need to give a 30 seconds advice to someone that is listening out there.
I think 30 seconds advice. So this is a country of huge opportunity, but a lot of problems to solve, which is of course business opportunity. If you get a job, look how the business runs to understand how it's made. If you build savings instead of debt, it will give you the choice to become an entrepreneur later once you understand how business works and how you can actually make your contribution as an entrepreneur.
Wow, that's quite a mouthful. I love the issue of saving, because it's something that we don't do well as a country. No, but more than anything, thanks a lot, Chris. Hopefully, next time we'll get opportunity of having you in studio for thank us you. To take it to a more different level.
Thank you.
Okay, then.
Good morning, gold MacBook, and you, silver MacBook, and you, space gray MacBook.
Let me finish.
You're all just so beautiful. Just look at your 12-inch retina display and force touch trackpad. Sleep now, my lovelies. I need to tell South Africa where to buy you.
Introducing the all-new 12-inch MacBook, now thinner and lighter than ever, and available at iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
I've just landed a big Pan-African contract, but setting up new ICT infrastructure isn't as easy as it is in South Africa. How can I give my other offices the same capabilities?
You need MTN Business Cloud, powered by Microsoft technology. Our hybrid cloud solution offers on-demand computing resources, reduced infrastructure costs, and service across our global MPLS network covering 23 countries. Isn't it time you found out about the cloud solution built to build African businesses? Welcome to the new world of business.
You're still tuned in to 360 Biz, and this name of the show, it's 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com. We're still on the discussion of the unemployment rate. You're allowed to join in on the discussion on the line, our studio line. It's 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is at cliffcentral.com. We're on Facebook. Our Facebook page is cliffcentral, and we're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat ID, it's cliffcentral.com. If ever you've just joined in on the show, you've missed on a very interesting discussion with Chris Hutt, the economic and investment strategist at Standard Bank. And we as well had Eugenia. In fact, we still have Eugenia Kula Amewe, chairperson of the Businesswoman of South Africa. And as well, we're going to be joined later by Xolani Ngxubeka, the CEO and founder of the Small Business Development Institute. Then maybe before I come to you, also Eugenia Tsepo, tell me the question that we had asking before we actually went on to the break, to say, is there enough collaboration between government and private sector in terms of creating or curbing the unemployment rate in our country?
Yes, I do believe that the government is out there trying to help the youth of today. There's plenty of funding, there's plenty of programs available for the youth today to access in order to help them. If you have a business idea, there are plenty of platforms that you can take it up with in order to get funding, in order to get help the in terms that you need. Yes, I do believe that the government and the private sector out there is trying to help the youth in order to help them move forward in terms of the ideas in which that they have.
Okay. So, as Eugenia, I mean, the young person is saying opportunities are there. Personally, I think the government can still do more. And most importantly, private sector can do more. Private sector is sitting on a whole lot of money, more than the government itself. So now what I want to ask you, I mean, does your organization partner with government or the private sector in trying to find sustainable solutions to the unemployment challenges? If so, what programs do you currently have in place?
Maybe comment on that. Maybe it depends where you are sitting or from which perspective, in terms of government doing much.
Okay.
Because if you look at CETAs, who are supposed to, they get levy from business, they are supposed to plow back in terms of training and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they're not very effective. So it depends where you're looking at. If it's having an idea and you can pitch it somewhere and get funding, fine. But there's more that government can do, in my view. So, yes, we partner with government. I've said my organization, BOSWA, is part of BOSA. And I wanted to say before Cliff left that business engages with the union.
Before Chris left.
Yes. I was not sure, but it's fine.
Mm.
But business engages with unions and government at NEDLAC. In terms of policy.
Okay.
In that space, really, we're great. This country is tip-top with policy. But it's the implementation thereof.
So now, what are you speaking out to say? We've got more talk shops?
We've got good policies. It's just to implement them.
Yeah, because, I mean, the government is doing all these interesting things to try and curb unemployment, I mean, within the country. But now the implementation... it's where it's involved. And what I've realized as well is that there's organizations like yourself that try as well to play a different role in terms of trying to help the government implement. But now someone was saying, for you to even access those opportunities and actually help the government, it depends who you are.
See, that's another dimension. I don't want to get there. I'm not for government. So government needs to learn that you need to remove the nepotism and cronyism, deal with every citizen as a citizen.
Yeah.
That's very important. And also what I thought, I remember in one presidential meeting we had, business and the politicians, and the experience, I don't know, South Africans, we got best practices to learn from various countries, from even the portfolio committees, they travel outside the country, but it's to come and implement some, whatever, over 10 years ago, we went. So our FETs, they'll be offering plumbing.
Yeah.
We know up to state-of-the-art plumbing workshop.
Mm.
Business can do something there.
Yeah.
You know? So the same as other workshop, you'll be training mechanics in FETs in some old engine. They come outside, they come find a fuel injected engine, some different kinds of engine that is 10 years advanced.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. That's what I want to bring onto this discussion, Mr. Xolani Kubeka. Who's the CEO? Who's the CEO and founder of the Small Business Development Institute? You're saying he's the ex what?
I call him XQ.
Oh, XQ. Mr. Kubeka, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Thanks for inviting me.
Good
day to listeners.
Okay. Mr. Kubeka, before I get straight to you, do you want to quickly tell our listeners who you are?
Oh, my name is Xolani Kubeka, and I work for South Africans in the area of economic transformation, and specifically focusing on SME development and fostering a symbiotic relationship between large and small companies, and ensuring that the supply chain is transformed to ensure access to SMEs. But I'm also then in my other CSI job, the Secretary General of the Black Business Council.
Okay. So now we with the relevant person that understands and knows government policy.
Oh, where am I with?
I'm saying we with the right person that knows and understands the government policy.
Well, I wouldn't say I understand, but at least I have an appreciation of the impact of on what we do and understand its impediments, you know, as we try to transform this economy.
Yeah. Okay. No, Mr. Kubeka, without wasting time, I want to start with you on the discussion that that was quite heated up we're having here in studio. I mean, would you say is there enough collaboration between the public and the private sector in terms of keeping off unemployment rate in our country?
Well, I think there is structures which have been put by government. I mean, there is, as an example, a presidential business working group that focuses, you know, on a collaboration between business, government and cabinet in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also structures, you know, such as NEDLAC, that also looks at dialogue between social partners, you know, as it were, because that involves business, labor, civil society and government, as it were. One would go further and indicate that the crisis post-Marikana, government put in a social partners together to confront the issues that bedeviled in the country at Marikana. That's on the one end. However, we need to be mindful of the monster that we're dealing with, which is unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we're grappling with here is that in this new democracy, we are trying to grapple with the structure of apartheid economy that was built around promoting illiteracy to the majority of the people, and only looking after, I think, a few who then were privileged with good education, good training, good access to skills, etc. Now we're sitting with almost over 60% of employable people who are unemployed because, number one, they don't have the right jobs. Number two, they are semi-skilled and therefore they have no relevance, you know, in the economy. And it is a monster that we are sitting with that would not be able to resolve even by 2030, you know, as it were. We've got a political economy that is so huge, embedded with the past. And unfortunately, in the first 20 years, we lost an opportunity, I think, as a country, because we concerned ourselves more about white concerns rather than the black problem that we have. You know, we've done everything to make sure that we're not upsetting the status quo, you know, as it was, because we have been threatened by that foreign investment, foreign investors who will not come into the country, etc. So unfortunately, we do have a problem. The government, with the little resources and the minimum time that we have, I think they've done a lot. Remember that since 1994, through government, over 6 million jobs, you know, were created.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite is true for the private sector. The private sector is retrenching almost on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. You know, okay, yeah, finish up.
Okay. All right, no, you go on.
Okay. Now, I was saying, speaking of the private sector and retention, what did you say? So the way it is, you said the private sector is doing what?
No, I am saying on the one end, the private sector is retrenching almost.
Oh, retrenching. Yes.
Yeah, they are retrenching almost on a day-to-day basis, you see, because profitability is based on how you manage your costs. And the first cost that the private business knows best is to retrench people.
Yes.
You know, rather than restructure their businesses. So it is very easy to retrench people. And I must just say, thank government that we do have laws in the country that protect vulnerable people. But obviously, there are also unintended consequences. There are people at specific times who perhaps would not be pulling together, and therefore eventually they would have perhaps to be dismissed. But in the main, we cannot resolve the problem by retrenching people, but we need to restructure the economy. The mining sector, as an example, they need to restructure. They need to add more value in the resources. We can actually create jobs by restructuring each sector. So government alone cannot resolve the problem, but government, I think, can play a much pivotal role since they are major beneficiaries of the economy when the chips are up.
So, yeah, no, it's fine. You just spoke of the government and the private sector. I mean, does your organization partner with either of them in trying to find sustainable solutions to the unemployment challenges? I mean, if so, what program do you currently have in place?
Okay. First, let me say that we really don't focus on unemployment, but we focus on generating sustainable businesses.
To create.
Invariably, what you do is you first create a business that can need to be sustainable. Okay. And as that business grows, it has better capacity and capability to absorb jobs.
Okay.
You see, so we don't have a program focusing on unemployment, because then you'll spend a lot of time using negative energy. But for us, we infuse our energy in making sure that there's an environment conducive for ease of creating new businesses and managing businesses and making sure that there are no red tape. That's what we focus on. How we can support the national development from a perspective of its goal that by 2030, 90% of jobs will come from SMEs. That's the positive aspect that we are focusing that, and obviously we have partnered as the SBDI with the Ministry and Department of Small Business Development in bringing together key stakeholders and identifying ways and means of making sure that SMME and cooperative development in this country is made much more easier through making sure that there is seamless, strategies between the private sector and the public sector. And we think this minister has therefore a pivotal role in ensuring that it can foster a much more better environment for economic development. Part of the outcomes of the colloquium that we are holding, for instance, is to come up with what we term a national SME policy master plan.
Yeah.
Which means there must be a countrywide master plan linked to the national development plan to ensure that we move SMMEs from the periphery of the economy to the epicenter of the economy so that we can meet the national interest. And our, the national interest is how do we place significant equity of the economy to in the majority of our people. And that's really what we are trying to contribute.
No, that sounds interesting. So when is the National SME Policy Colloquium?
Well, the colloquium is Friday the 30th.
Okay.
Where we're focusing, you know, on various aspects of SME development, at you know, at various challenges within our economic system, and making sure that we can unlock the value of SME. For instance, we'll be looking at coming up with national guidelines on supplier development, as an example. We'll be also looking at how, what are the alternative policy options around legislative and statutory protection for SMEs, financial and non-financial support, market access, sector identification, what those sectors that we can focus on and make sure that they are part of this national SME master plan. And then on the second day, the 31st, it's an entrepreneurship day where we are focusing on young people. We'll be having about 150 learners who are coming, and it's an entrepreneurship day, open day, where we want to foster entrepreneurship, you know, and ensuring that our education system can engender a spirit of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I think maybe what we need to do is that go have the national SME policy curriculum, and make the decisions. I mean, what then? I think maybe after that, let me have you on the show. Let me have you in studio. Let's probably discuss the outcome. Of the master plan, yeah, so that SMEs and business people know what's in for them and what is coming up, so that they're able to strategically position themselves and get themselves ready for the opportunities that you guys are going to be presenting to them.
No, thank you very much, and thanks again for the opportunity.
No, definitely. Thanks a lot for your
good program. Yeah, thank you.
No, definitely. Thanks a lot, Mr. Dube. Yeah. We'll speak to you next time, right?
Okay, bye.
Okay then. Yeah, that was Mr. Xolani Kubega. They're talking about, the master plan, the SME master plan that they're trying to create in terms of having the plan for SMEs on the line to actually improve the business. I mean, these are the people that are just sitting and saying, no, we want to see what the government has in store. These are the people that stood up and said, we shall engage the government and see what is the government doing on the line in terms of curbing or promoting entrepreneurship as a whole. I mean, a lot of people are doing quite a number of different things. I mean, we've got as well, that might be familiar to you on the line, Dr. Richie. I've actually had the privilege of having him on the show. I mean, he's a business coach, an inspirational speaker, strategist. I mean, I know he's having something on his own as well to say, no, I won't sit and complain about government doing nothing, but I want to do something as well in terms of curbing unemployment and improving the economy. Dr. Richard, how are you?
How are you doing today, sir?
No, I'm good, thanks. Dr. Richie, tell me, challenge yourself, unleash your potential, and define your future. I mean, we're speaking unemployment in our country. You saying you shall stand up and do something as well to improve onto the economy and the entrepreneurship space. What is it that you're doing?
Well, I'm doing so many things, but the most important thing I do is to challenge people to get out of their comfort zone. I'm called to make people uncomfortable where they are very at ease. And to help a generation to start thinking different, because if you don't think, you will think, and if you don't focus, you'll be confused. And as long as you have three types of blame: one, blame where you are; two, blame somebody; 3, blame yourself, you will not move forward. And when we say challenge yourself, unleash your potential, define your future, it is trying to give you the tool from where you are to where you want to go. That is if you want to do something about yourself anyway. Yeah.
So now, I mean, I am you Deborah Conference. I mean, I'm sitting with a woman in studio. I mean, business, is it Black Women of, what?
Black Women Organization, South Africa.
Oh, Black Women Organization, South Africa.
Dr. Richie.
Yes.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Yes. I mean, part of what she does, I mean, it's to empower women and equip them for directorship, and for them to actually sit in companies and actually influence strategy. Is it similar to what you're doing with the Debra Conference? Or?
Of course. And she better bring her people over. Because we're looking at, I mean, as I am sitting now, and I just came out because I'm in a strategy station with government people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mention the people I'm with for 3 days. That's what I'm doing. Listen, we are looking at Deborah, a mother, a wife, a prophetess, a judge, a woman with balance. That's when we talk about leadership. We are talking about a woman like Deborah. And it's somebody that people rarely talk about. Like I was speaking to women on Saturday. I said, the women holiday, the women this, the women that. What exactly are they celebrating today? They are celebrating the sweat of the mothers of the past. What will tomorrow's youth celebrate about today's mothers? We're celebrating what other mothers did. They marched when it was uncomfortable. They did what they couldn't, what was difficult. What are today's mothers doing? They're buying new clothes, drinking and smoking, laying funny examples. I'm not talking about every mother. I'm saying, where are the Deborahs of our today? The Bible says that Deborah said, I, Deborah, a mother in Israel, arose when the nation was down. Africa is going down. Africa, look at the level of insult Donald Trump is giving to Africa. Where are the mothers to say enough is enough?
Yeah.
We're looking for mothers that we're going to give tools.
Yeah.
Young women we're going to empower to say it's time to stand up.
Yeah.
We're talking about association. We're talking about honesty, integrity, balance, declaration, teamwork, obedience to God's voice, vision, casting, visibility, trust, inside positioning, commitment, worship, and appreciation, and inspiration. That is what we'll be doing on Saturday at Deborah Convention.
Do you want to tell us quickly where it is, Dr. Rich? I need to catch you. We're running out of time.
Yeah, it's going to be at Radisson Blue. Radisson Blue Stanton.
Okay.
The one that is very close to Hilton.
Yeah.
Radisson, and they are actually one of our partners.
Oh,
they believe in what we are doing.
Oh, okay.
You know? Then, and I can also give a number if you got some seconds.
Yes, please. Can you give me a number quickly for people to get more information?
073-173-162-56-19.
Okay, yeah. The number is 073-162-5619. No, thanks a lot for your time, Dr. Richie. Want feedback after the event as to how it went.
And ask the sister to bring the women. She's empowered.
She's listening. She's listening. She'll be there.
We'll talk offline, Dr. Richie.
Yeah, no, that was Dr. Richie. You says Eugenia, in closing, words of inspiration to someone that's listening out there?
I wanted to talk about how companies, when they retrench, they need to train their staff on entrepreneurship and give them business in the value chain. But for us, I'll probably align myself to us Black parents.
Mm-hmm.
We should train our children when they are young.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are unemployed, we should be able to give them some seed funding to start businesses where we can mentor or hook them up with people like you. So we should not only condition them for jobs,
yes,
but there should be an entrepreneurial spirit.
No, definitely.
Even in job, in the corporate, there's an entrepreneurial manager.
Mm.
Remember, I studied entrepreneurship in my MBA. So there are managers who are entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
So let's rather raise our young people to be entrepreneurial, okay, even if they have jobs. Yeah.
So then how do people get more information about Business Women of South Africa?
There's a website, www.bwosa.co.za. And the number, I can give my number, but there's also a landline, 011-022-1852.
Okay. No.
But the details are on their website.
No, definitely. Yeah. Thanks a lot for your time, Sis Regina.
Thanks for the opportunity to share with the nation.
No, definitely. Yeah. In closing, what am I saying? I'm saying excuses there are for people who don't want it bad enough. How bad do you want it? If people like us can stand up and wake up in the morning and do something about it, besides our situation, growing up in poverty, growing up in starvation, to making and running businesses, you definitely have got an opportunity to do it for yourself. Information is out there. Government is doing the best that they can do. So is private sector. Don't sit down and feel sorry for yourself. Catch us again next time for another exciting episode of 360. And this is Cliff Central.
This is CliffCentral.com.